winning word early this morning to try to get in on that $2,000 in good candy there. Here that we're giving away today on 99.7 DJX of CAT. Good morning, Kelly.
Hello.
Well, we don't normally start with sports, but big night last night in the world of sports. Aaron Judge, who plays for the New York Yankees, he had tied Roger Maris's American League record for the most home runs in a season at 61. Last night, broke it.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
Yeah, so kind of a big deal in sports. However, he's only seventh on the all-time home run list. He just broke the American League record, not the baseball record.
Gotcha.
The interesting news is that the other two players who he was beating for on the American League were both Yankees players. He's seventh on the list. Like, Barry Bonds holds the all-time record with 73 home runs. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, these are all old baseball players. But they're also like accused of,
steroids and
shooting
stuff, right?
Up the steroids. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he's got a little ways to go, but it's a nice little notch to check off for him. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you know what? As an announcer, I always wonder when these historic things happen, they've got to have maybe an idea of what they want to say if it happens while they're calling the game, while they're calling that certain game. What are they going to say when history happens?
Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him. Just think of it. Three Yankee right fielders. The Babe hitting 60 and 27. The Jolly Roger.
Now Roger Maris there.
Hitting 61 and 61. And now Aaron Judge hits his 62nd home run. The most home runs any American leaguer has hit in a single season.
Yeah, so he's just kind of going through and then,
music, it's like a movie.
I know, right?
And the American League has been alive for 120 years. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
This is Judgment Day. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
baseball announcers are so dramatic. I love it.
Yeah, do you think that he knew that? He was like, all right, I know that I want to say this is Judgment Day if he hits,
I don't think he's making that. Or do you think you talk about the announcer?
Yeah. I'm thinking the announcer.
Cute little quips, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe he writes down a couple things, but like lets his emotion take over in the moment.
Yes.
But is like, man, I've got to hit that catchphrase.
Yeah.
This is Judgment Day.
And it all hinges because people are going to be playing it.
Oh, playing it forever.
Playing what he says about it forever and forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he can't have a Fergie moment.
Yeah. A Fergie moment.
Fergie.
You mean that dude?
Yeah.
The dude who announced this?
Fergie.
Yeah. It's got to be more than that.
Announced Fergie singing the national anthem before.
He knew he needed to bring more than that.
The NBA All-Star game several years ago.
Fergie. Uh-huh.
And now forever lives on our hot button history.
And now Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Judgment Day. So anyways. History there last night in sports. Aaron Judge hits his
exciting way to start
62nd home run. But again, it's just an American League record, and I don't want to take anything away from Aaron Judge because he's a great baseball player, but it's not like a baseball record. It's the American League record.
Okay.
So
the all-time record, 73 homers.
Yeah,
that's what he's got to beat, right?
Yeah, that's what he's got to beat. Barry Bonds did that back in 2001, so long time ago. But again, he never admitted to it, but Barry Bonds, very
juiced.
Yeah, very juiced.
Okay.
That's a way to put it. So, all right.
So Aaron Judge, Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. All right. So, hey, coming up this hour, we have a phone tap for you. Robert Hassenpepper lost a cat. So that's sad.
That is really sad, especially when it's got such an amazing name.
Yeah, for sure. So about a half an hour, we'll get that on for you. Coming up next, it's a feel-good story. All right, feel-good stories. Kelly Kay.
Okay, so I want to direct your attention to the website, WDJX.com. There you will see Mark and Peanut front and center. They're quite the cute pair, charming the internet with their adorable bond. Now, they kind of met in a tragic way. Mark witnessed Peanut's mama get hit by a car in New York City and pass away.
Okay.
So Mark jumped in front of Peanut to prevent him from suffering the same fate and took him in. Only, you know, the area shelters didn't have room for him.
Right.
So Mark took Peanut in and bottle fed him for 8 months, hoping that he would rejoin the wild.
This is a squirrel.
This is a squirrel.
Peanut. My goal was to get him back outside, but live in my backyard in hopes he'd be close enough just in case it got too bad outside.
When Peanut was ready, Mark released him back into the wild again. However, Peanut had other plans.
So released him in the backyard, and a day and a half later, I found him sitting on my porch missing half his tail. So here I am bawling my eyes out like I failed you as, you know, as your human. I kind of opened the door. He ran inside, and that was the last of Peanut's wildlife career.
Wow.
Yeah. So he shares their journey on social media now. They've got quite the following because he cute and Peanut cute. And then they've got Chloe the cat, too. Their trio of besties.
Okay.
And he often meets with his followers to give back for their support. And, you know, and again, you should see, I mean, this squirrel living his best life. I mean, how most people treat their dogs or their cats. That's how Mark treats Peanut, the squirrel.
And the cat is fine with the squirrel.
The cat is fine with the squirrel. They're all besties.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, they're quite the pair. You can see their story. It's a great little video on the website, WDJX.com.
So kind of sad news, Loretta Lynn. She's from Butcher Hollow, Kentucky. Very famous country singer there. She passed away at her home in Tennessee yesterday. 90 years old.
Yeah, that's a good run.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But always sad.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She was, man, I was going to say, what's like her most famous song? Maybe Coal Miner's Daughter or something like
Probably,
that?
Probably, yeah. That's what she was known as.
Well, I was born to coal miner's daughter.
She had a 7-decade career.
Wow.
I mean, impressive.
Didn't Reese Witherspoon play her in a movie?
No, was it Walk the Line, was it?
I think it was Walk the Line.
Was it Walk the Line?
Did she, like, win an award?
Wait, Loretta Lynn wasn't married to Johnny Cash, right?
Right, I think so.
Loretta Lynn, that was June.
No, that was June Cash.
Yeah. Not Loretta. Ah, man. I was going to say, you are confusing me.
Let's see. Well, I was going to say Coal Miner's Daughter. Oh, no, Sissy Spacek in 1980 played her Coal Miner's Daughter.
Okay, all right.
So there was a movie.
All right, gotcha.
It wasn't Reese Witherspoon, though.
No. Yeah, Reese Witherspoon was in Walk the Line there.
Yes, 1980 Coal Miner's Daughter.
All right.
And Sissy Spacek won an Oscar.
Yeah, so, yeah, Loretta Lynn. They're from Kentucky, 90 years old. JX, good morning.
Hey, what's going on? I've called you guys before, and I've talked to you. And, you know, you guys do a great show, and I love listening to you in the morning on the commute and everything. But even as, you know, very, very qualified radio personalities, such as you and yourself, you and the other girl, I was literally, like, about to start banging my head against the steering wheel when you were saying that Loretta Lynn was in Walk the Line. I was like, it's June Carter Cash. It's June Carter Cash.
I got there.
You did. And there was a girl at the red light that was looking at me just completely losing it. Like,
See, we like to give you strong emotions in the morning.
You did. All right, cool. That's all I got. I'm having a good time listening to it. I'll talk to you later.
All right,
okay,
thanks, man.
Thanks.
Bye.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Got a message from Bennett. I'm writing to see if you guys will call my wife with one of your phone taps.
Okay.
She's the sweetest thing in the world.
Aww.
But a little gullible.
Aww.
I'd never take advantage of that, of course.
Right.
But you could, LOL.
All right, so Robert Hassenpepper is new to the neighborhood and is actually missing a cat.
Oh, no.
So he's going to need some help finding it. Welcome to your phone tap.
Hello.
Hi there. Is this Kimberly?
Yeah, it is.
Kimberly, hello. Nice to finally talk to you. Robert Hossenpepper. Now, we haven't met, but I know your husband, Bennett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see, we recently moved into the neighborhood about a block away, and I met him when I was on a walk going by your house.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome to the neighborhood.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So he gave me your number, said you guys could help me out if I needed anything, and actually, I do have a small favor to ask.
Okay.
Now, Bennett said, you work from home, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, great. Well, I'm at my work, which is not at home, and I need a little help. I got an alert from my doorbell camera of some activity at my front door, and I checked, and it looked like it was my cat running out the front door.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I guess I didn't close it all the way, and she must have worked her fat little tush through there and just took off.
Wow. Okay, so do you want me to keep an eye out for her?
Well, if you could, that'd be wonderful, but could you actually take a look out the window? I mean, she's a big, fat, orange tabby.
Sure. Hang on. I'm in the living room by the window right now.
Do you see anything? Maybe hiding in some bushes or around the trash or something like that? I don't know.
No, I'm looking out my front window, and there's no cats that I can see.
Okay, could you do me a favor? I mean, I can't get away from work until later. I'm really just kind of panicking here. I don't know where she is, this new neighborhood, all that, but I kind of feel like she might be around your yard since she was heading in that direction when she took off.
Okay.
So yeah, could you open the window and call her? I mean, she's actually pretty good about coming when someone calls her name.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I'd really appreciate it. She's so very important to me.
I guess. What exactly do you want me to do?
Okay, well, just call her name out of the window or out your front door and just see if she pops up and shows her little cutie little face there. Her name's Meowly.
Meowly?
Yeah, Meowly. Well, her full name is actually Meowly Cyrus.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cute.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that maybe if you call her, we'll get lucky. My little kitty cat will come running.
And the name's Meowly?
That's right. Meowly Cyrus.
Right. I feel a little funny doing this.
I know, but I really appreciate it.
I have the window open. Let me try.
Meowly Cyrus.
That's not, well, I mean, I appreciate it, but I just wasn't very loud.
What's wrong?
Well, it wasn't very loud. I'm not sure she'd be able to hear you. Could you try it again, maybe a little louder?
I guess so. Meowly Cyrus.
Okay, that's better. Could you call her like I call her? Like what I say is, meow, meow, Meowly Cyrus.
I don't know. There's some people on my sidewalk down the block. I feel kind of funny doing this.
Oh, come on, Kimberly. We're new to the neighborhood, and Meowly Cyrus doesn't really even know her way around yet. I'd hate for her to get lost so soon or even hurt.
Okay, I guess so.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you got to do it nice and loud. Meow. Meow, Meowly Cyrus.
Meow, meow, Meowly Cyrus. Are you out there, Meowly?
Any sign of her?
Meow.
Any sign of her? It must have worked. You did great. Must have worked.
No, I'm sorry. I don't see her.
No. That just hurts. I appreciate you, though. I don't know. Maybe somebody will hear this on the radio and call in and say they see her. What do you think?
What do you mean on the radio?
Oh. I must have forgot to tell you. This is actually Ben Davis and Kelly Kay, and you're on 99.7 DJX. It's called a phone tap.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. And guess whose idea it was?
My husband called you, didn't he?
Right.
God. Okay, that's actually kind of hilarious. I guess I can't be too mad.
No, and you know what? Why were you not suggesting that you play, like, Party in the USA or something?
I need
like,
you to call her by saying, meow, put your hands up. Butterflies fly away.
It's Party in the USA.
Party in the USA, oh, Meowly.
Comes running every time.
It's the
Meowly
climb.
Cyrus. Oh my gosh. How many people are going to name their cat that now?
I just want to see you again. Ha, there you go. That is your phone tap. On 99.7 DJX. Setting the bar stories. Kelly, what are these?
Examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Honestly, this is kind of like a setting the bar or maybe even a feel good. Who knows?
Okay, based on perspective?
Yeah. So if you can manage to make it through the day without taming a wild beast, maybe an arachnid or some sort of spiny creature, whatever, only to find out that it's not a live beast at all or even alive, you're doing okay.
Well, okay. So we kind of have a hero situation, but then not really.
Oh, okay. So listen, we have dad vibes for sure.
Okay.
Pete. Pete's a 69-year-old dad.
They're in England, aren't they?
Yeah, he stopped by his daughter's house there in England, did some home repairs, helped her out, right? So, went into the bathroom to inspect a leak when he noticed a multi-legged arachnid-type creature lurking on the windowsill.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, wow, you got to do something about that. Handle that.
So he did. He did not swat it. He didn't kill it, but he did the more humane thing and put turned a jar upside down and placed it on top of it.
Okay. This got a little glass, trapped it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm deal with you later. Right. Exactly. So the daughter got home and checked on the progress and she noticed the trapped beast, took a TikTok of it, and here's what it said.
So my dad's been over to fix something, but he's only gone and caught my eyelashes in a glass thinking it's a creature.
Yeah. Fake eyelashes.
False eyelash? Fake eyelashes?
Yep. And honestly, I have thought the same thing before when I've seen wife have her fake eyelashes on.
Oh, there's some very full sets.
Yes.
Yeah, that does legit kind of look like something I'm going to need to step on or something.
For sure. So again, if you can manage to make it through the day without taming a wild beast, only to find out that it's actually eyelashes.
Oh.
You're doing
daddy, okay. So brave. Thank you, Pete.
Definite dad. Kelly, real quick, if you were getting ready to plow into, your little breakfast biscuits or, your little shake, if it said instead of 250 calories or whatever, but it said walk for 35 minutes.
Oh, you're going to require me to do this much exercise in order to enjoy this tasty treat?
Yeah, would you like that better or would it be worse?
No, I think that's worse.
Because they're trying that out in England right now where, because I guess it's been a couple decades now since, they've now required nutrition information on all, edible products and things like that. And so instead of 150 calories for a can of soda, it may say, run for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no.
And you're like,
I'm putting it right back down. I'm like, listen, if there is a physical requirement for me to be able to enjoy this and still stay the same look. Yeah, no, I'm putting it back down. I'm walking away.
Yeah, so legit, they're trying this out instead of just calorie counts on labels, printing the amount of exercise you'd need to burn them off, and seeing if it will help people either eat less or just eat more conscious. They're calling it PACE, physical activity calorie equivalents, which I already don't like because, when you see, I do like though that, when they put on pints of ice cream, serving size is a fourth a cup. Or if you decide to eat the entire pint, here's what it is, right?
Yes.
Because
exactly. That's helpful information.
Exactly. That's more the reality of it.
Keep it with telling me how many calories it is, and then I will decide how best to work those off.
Right. Right. So if I'm deciding to polish off an entire family box size of Cheez-Its, instead of saying, look, you're going to need to jog for 5 hours, why don't you just keep it at, all right, it's 150 calories per serving and there's 20 exactly. servings in here. So you
and
do,
you
the,
do
math.
The math and you figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, I think, calorie count, it's one of those where I'm like, I don't know what it takes to burn calories. So
you don't?
No.
You're the fitness guru on the program here. You run.
That's very loose. I don't have You're using that very loose.
Well,
fitness guru.
You seem to be more in tune with it than me. You have like Fitbits and things that tell you all that stuff. I got none of that. None of it.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah. We're going to tweet out kind of what the England is trying here at Ben and Kelly's show, but like on a chocolate bar, you know, instead of 209 calories, you need to walk for 42 minutes.
42
if
minutes?
If you ate this chocolate bar.
Just right. For a couple, like 100 yeah. calories? Seriously?
Yeah.
That's
209 calories.
That is a lot of effort from my whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
That's a lot of effort.
Right?
Dang, what if I just eat like just a bite? Like I can spread it out. And sometimes I just need a little hit, a little taste.
Yeah, yeah. See, there you go.
And then I wrap it up and I put it away for later.
I don't know. It may make you, I will say so far.
Walk up and down the stairs a couple times, call it a day.
Most of the people that they've tried this with are not fans of it.
Okay. Yeah. I have anxiety about it. So I'm going to go ahead and label this as a bad idea.
They're like, oh yeah, Kelly, this chocolate bar here, delish, right?
I'm just not, you know what? I'm just not going to turn over and read the labels anymore.
There you go.
That's what it's going to drive me to do. I'm going to stop reading labels. I don't think that's the effect they want.
You know what? If you don't like it, just ignore it. And Kelly Kay.
Okay, so this is a pretty amazing story of a new mom who ended up meeting her son a little sooner than anticipated. Kendra, she's from Connecticut. She had 6 weeks left before her due date when she got on board an American Airlines flight to the Dominican Republic last month, trying to do a little last-minute baby moon.
Yep.
Before the plane was able to arrive, her son made his arrival.
Oh, gosh.
Her water broke. Number of nurses on board quickly jumped in, sprung into action. The family didn't actually get a chance to thank them at the time, but her sister shared this message to all the heroes who helped with the delivery. She said, "We really appreciate all your hard work you did that day because we know how things could have gone left." And she said, "It's not easy to deliver a baby on an airplane."
Wow.
For his name, she wanted to pay tribute to, you know, the fact that he was born in the air.
Uh-huh.
So she named him Skylin.
Oh, okay.
Because he was born on a plane. Now, he is a U.S. citizen, but his place of birth is listed on the birth certificate as in the air.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think of that.
How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
Yep. They did have to spend a little bit of extra time there in the Dominican Republic, but now they're back home. They're doing well. So yeah, could you imagine? Hey, just a last minute trip before baby. And then, hey, baby.
Like, could you imagine being the person in the aisle with her? And, you know, that would be quite an experience.
That's a lot going on. And I didn't go into labor with either one of my children. They were C-section. My son was like a week late. I was begging, like, listen, he's going to walk out and ask for the car keys. If you guys don't take him out right now, take him out.
Listen, and I was just thinking, especially if she wasn't in an aisle seat.
Oh.
Like, what if she's at the window seat and you're in the aisle and you're just like, hey, I'm just trying to get, my peanuts and Coke, please.
I'm going to need some more room. Can we switch? OMG.
Oh, that is crazy.
Crazy story. Yep. We'll tweet it out at Ben and Kelly Show.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. So walk us through what you sent us.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny, but I don't know. I kind of want to know what you guys think about it. Basically, so I went out with my boyfriend last weekend and some of our friends to this, huge haunted attraction, you know. It was, one of the ones with the big cornfield and maze, you know, and some of those scary actors.
Gotcha.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, so I know my boyfriend, he hates scary movies and things like that, but, I don't know. I wanted to do something with our friends and, something different, you know, and I was like, okay, well, he's 30. He's going to be in a group. I don't think that there's going to be any issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was wrong. I was very wrong about that.
He didn't like it, huh?
No, he literally started freaking out the moment we got there. I swear you would have thought that he was part of it because he looked like a ghost. He got so pale.
Oh,
gosh.
started screaming and like suddenly seemed nervous and like he was going through the maze and he was acting like a little kid or something, like legit hiding behind me.
Oh,
like, God. You know how kids do that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but my boyfriend is 30.
Yeah.
And he was doing that to me.
Oh, wow.
And I was kind of like pushing him in front, like, okay, you know, let's go. It was like a little embarrassing because the other guys in our group were like laughing and joking around and everything. And, you know, he just seemed kind of like a sissy around the other guys.
Wow. It's okay. So was that the worst of it?
I wish. No. Guys, this is so bad. So it was like about 5 minutes into the wheels came off the wagon, this like Freddy Krueger looking dude jumped out with a fake chainsaw and he walked towards us. Of course he walked towards us because he could see my boyfriend.
Yeah, he can sniff him out for sure. Yeah.
They sniffed him out.
Yeah.
Right. And he screamed like, I swear, like a 6-year-old girl and pushed me right into this guy and ran away.
He pushed like, you?
He pushed me right into this guy.
Take her!
Oh,
yeah.
MG.
No. Yeah, and this guy, who's literally like this actor with a chainsaw, he grabs me in his arms. Like, he caught me because he pushed me so hard. And I'm just like, if that was a real chainsaw, like, I would have been dead. I would have been sawed in half.
Oh, gosh. Right?
And I'm just here thinking, like, okay, I know he's scared and everything when it comes to horror movies and all, but, like, I had no idea he was going to be like this. Straight up a wuss in front of
did you say
all of our friends and everything.
Yeah.
I walked out of there, and I swear, I had fake blood on me. I had makeup all over this new sweater I had, and everybody's like, oh, my God, are you okay? What happened? You know, because it looked like something horrible just happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to kind of explain, like, no, you know, like, my boyfriend just, like, ran off and left me. I don't know. I'm just like, is this a red flag? You know?
Did
like,
you talk to him at all about it afterwards? Did you tell him, like, hey, not cool when you pushed me into the fake killer?
I did. And he was just like, oh, you know, I'm scared of that stuff and all. But I'm just over here like, look, if this was an actual emergency, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave me high and dry by myself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like, it was funny in the beginning, but once he like pushed me into the guy with the chainsaw, yeah. I'm just like, okay, how do you guys recover from this? You know, like, what if this is an actual thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember taking my daughters last year through that same place, and they had, I think, probably the same reaction as your boyfriend, but, you know, they're my teenage daughters and not a 30-year-old guy.
Well, they're legit actors. Like, they take it seriously. The makeup is on point. Like, they are really scary.
I wonder if something happened to your boyfriend back when he was younger where it just traumatized him that you don't know about or he hasn't talked about. And maybe that's kind of the root of it or I don't know. That's just, that is crazy. But I don't know. I mean, Alyssa, I wouldn't read too much into it, but that's just me.
Yeah, this is like his, you know, main fault. I don't know if, you know, it's going to paint him as someone that's not going to do well in a real life emergency, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's worth a conversation that it was that particular moment when you pushed me into Freddy Krueger. That was a problematic moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, I tried having a conversation right after, but I think that like I need to have an actual sit-down conversation, you know, when he's not still heightened from everything.
Right.
Well, Alyssa, thank you for talking to us this morning. And, you know, if you're not doing anything, the radio station's going to be out at a haunted field.
Bring him back for another go.
This weekend, we can do a part two.
Round two.
Maybe, you know, it's kind of like a baptism by fire. Let's train him some more. So I don't know. But Alyssa, I don't know if I would read too much into it. Like, yes, I think if it were a real situation, you know, maybe he would be different, but that's just me.
So. Yeah, is it more like scary monsters kind of a thing, or would it be like, you know, if there was an actual like emergency where, you know,
right,
somebody
that's
would
the thing,
you know,
I'm just like, I do not know now. Right, I don't know.
Well, listen, we got a lot of people chiming in. Some of them are saying nice things about you. Some of them aren't. But, you know, that's why you...
it's a mixed bag sometimes.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag sometimes. So hang tight, Alyssa. And thanks for talking to us this morning.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to do this. Hear what people say.
Okay.
Is this music helping? I don't know if this music is helping. What's the matter with you?
Well, you know, and I think about, like, my daughters, yes, they are 18, but at the time they were ready to do it. They were like, yes, let's do it. So maybe he was thinking the same thing, like, okay, yes, I'm scared, but I could do this. But then,
well, yeah,
once
he
got
like,
in,
you know, be the only one that didn't go.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I get it. But Diana was on Facebook is kind of wondering the same thing. Like, what if there's some sort of childhood trauma that's leading to that? A lot of people mentioned that. Courtney said, why would you want your boyfriend even go if you already know he's scared? I think that's a red flag. Then he should dump you for being insensitive.
I don't know if, again, I think it could be a case where maybe she didn't know the severity of it, and he was not wanting to be the odd guy out and was like, all right, you know what? I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'll try it. But anyway,
it just didn't go well.
All right.
Amanda said, I scare easily in a haunted house type situation. Honestly, don't enjoy going to things like that. Going somewhere to be scared on purpose. No, thank you. But I'm good under pressure. Real life emergency scenarios. It's just a different response. I think you could be reading far too much into it.
All right. So Alyssa's boyfriend freaked out. Went to a little haunted attraction last weekend to the point where he pushed her into an actor, left her there. She's wondering, is it a red flag, sign that he won't be able to handle something serious in the future? All that.
You know what? I have not found one person that has said, yes, that's a red flag and you should dump him. No one is saying that.
There is one person, but I think it's kind of a joke.
Oh, okay. See, Justin is like, I'm 39 years old, and my wife and I move as one person through the haunted house. She's always in front. No shame. I own it.
Yeah, you know, I just, like, am like, hey, you are, I think you're reading too much into this.
Well, and she knew going into it, he didn't like any of that stuff. And so, right. You know, a lot of people are pointing that out, like, hey, you kind of set yourself up for this.
Yeah.
If you knew that was the way he was, you know, that he hates scary movies. So what did you think he was going to do in a situation where it's like the scary movie is in front of your face in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just don't put him in that situation. And you'll be fine. There's a lot of people on Facebook, too, said, you know, Kelly said you knew that he didn't like that when he went with you anyway. I think you're the wrong one that's in the wrong here. You should have respected that he doesn't like that stuff. My husband knows I can't stand it. He never asked me to go, even when we were just dating.
Mm.
A lot of people are saying, too, I don't think that you can make a judgment on how he would be in an actual emergency based on his reaction to, like, you know, on purpose, scary things, over the top scary.
That's what I go back to.
Yeah.
And
different responses.
A lot of people are like, are you not scared of anything?
Yep.
You know, what if he did the same thing? You know, would you react the same way and stuff like that? So
yeah, a lot of people are like, you know, are men not allowed to be scared at stuff?
Right.
Absolutely. They are.
Yeah. So Alyssa, hey, thank you for coming to us. I don't think us as a community backed you the way that you are hoping, maybe.
No, but, you know, maybe just know that about your boyfriend, that that's not his wheelhouse. And if you want to go enjoy that kind of stuff around Halloween, just have it be a friend's thing and don't, you know, put him in that situation so you don't find yourself in an embarrassing situation.
But look, I give your boyfriend props for even doing it,
yeah.
Knowing that he hates that sort of stuff.
Oh, he knew he was going to hate it, but he did it anyway for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, he did so it for you. Sweet. So instead of maybe, like, get mad at him, why don't you appreciate the fact that he would do that? You
know? Yes.
So, all right, there
That's
you go.
That's a good guy right there.
All right, thank you, Alyssa. And that is group therapy. Playing a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's introduce you to Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. Daniel resides on the East End, is a GM at a bar, has brown hair, drives a Ford Escalade, is engaged. How long have you been engaged, man?
About almost a year now.
Ah, congrats.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Did
is
you...
the date coming up?
We're both so busy that we're still trying to figure it out. We might just end up in Vegas or...
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I love it.
was it an elaborate engagement, or was it just a simple, like, quiet you two, just, you know, pop the question sort of thing?
We're a blended family, so the kids were involved, and
kind of
made it a family thing.
Ah, that's nice.
Sweet.
That's nice.
Love it.
All right, Daniel, we're going to play Little Kid, Drunk Adult. Kelly, describe how the game works.
Pretty simple. You're going to hear three stories. You got to figure out, did these stories happen when the person was a little kid or drunk adult?
Here we go. Number one.
Burned my LeBron James jersey when he left Miami to go back to Cleveland.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah. Burned a jersey.
That happened a while ago, right?
It did. Yeah, it did.
Okay.
I'm going to say drunk adult.
Drunk adult.
I'll say little kid.
Okay. Right. Kelly says little kid. Daniel says drunk adult.
I was a little kid, man.
Little kid. Burning the jersey.
I was just so hurt when he left. And I'd seen someone else on TV burn their jersey, you know. And so I tried it in my kitchen and almost burned the house down.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, tried it in the kitchen. Wow.
Oh, kids, don't do that.
Yeah.
Let's not retaliate with fire.
Or at least if you're going to burn a jersey, make sure it's in a fire-safe area. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, controlled fire.
All right. Daniel, you're 0 for 1. Little kid.
That's okay. You can come back.
Drunk adult. Here we go. Next one.
So I set a cage full of hamsters free in a pet store.
That really could go either way.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to say drunk adult again.
All right. Daniel's saying drunk adult.
I'll agree. That sounds like something like you go in. I don't know why the drunk person's in a pet store to begin with, but maybe just saw all the injustice going on and they're just in all the cages and be free, animals, be free. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so both of you saying drunk adult.
Yep. I was a drunk adult.
Yep, that's the case.
My brother came to pick me up from a bar after I got too hammered at a Saturday brunch.
Hang on a second. Was this your bar, Daniel?
Saturday brunch?
No comment.
No comment.
And on the way to his apartment, he needed a stop to get his dog at the groomers before they closed. And it was in this, like, pet store. Uh-huh. And he didn't want to leave me in the hot car. Oh. So he was like, just come in with me. Like, just let me get the dog and that's it. So when he was getting the dog, I tried to kiss a hamster after opening its cage.
Oh.
And it didn't like that. So it bit my lip. And I knocked the cage over, letting three more hamsters escape.
Wow. Oh. That was not quite the go, be free. It was more of a, what a cute little hamster.
We'll give you a little kissy. Wow.
All right. So you got that one right. Last one, Daniel.
She was asked to not come back to that
store. Yeah, she probably was.
Can you not shop here?
I gotta figure, Daniel, you've probably seen a lot of these scenarios play out in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Last one, little kid, drunk adult.
I sneezed in a boy's face right before our first kiss.
Oh.
Traumatizing.
I hope that was little kid.
All right.
Yeah, me too.
I was a little kid. I was.
Yeah, little kid.
Oh, those are hard.
Like in sixth grade, and I was at the mall with a boy, and my parents were waiting outside to pick me up, and my boyfriend tried to give me a kiss, but he didn't realize that when I get nervous, I sneeze a lot, and I just sprayed right in his face.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Well.
Yeah, that's a mood killer. By the way, sixth grade? Really?
Ah, well, you know, started early.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Is that early? Kelly, when did you have your first kiss?
Well, it's probably sixth or seventh grade. Oh, my God. I'm having a realization right now of how old my children are.
Yeah. Have you asked your children?
I know that has not happened yet.
Daniel, how old were you when you had your first kiss? Do you remember?
Actually, I was in first grade.
First grade? Damn, Daniel. Wow.
Oh, you broke out the damn Daniel.
What a stud.
Oh, wow.
I was probably a freshman in high school or college. I don't know. I was late bloomer. All right. Well, Daniel, congrats. You've got the tickets. And yeah, hey, congrats on your upcoming wedding.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. Allie's texting in. Same Daniel. I was six. Oh, my gosh. What? Do we need to have a conversation about this? Does this need to be a Catholic topic?
School, so. Oh. Big slut, good for you.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, hey, Daniel, hang on a quick sec. We're going to get more information from you, okay?
Sure.
All right. That's cool.
That's so great.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
I love it. The little nuggets we find out, you know?
It's so great. Yeah. I mean, we don't just want you to play the game. We want to get to know you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to think. No, maybe freshman in college is a little late. I want to say it was probably junior or senior in high school. Like I said, I was a little bit of a late bloomer. So.
Okay. I think I was seventh grade.
Golly. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
You big slut. Good for you.
Oh, my gosh. You're seventh grade
right
now.
Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy.
No.
All right.
No.
There you are. By the way, if you want to be one of the stars of Little Kid Drunk Adult, just voice note us, record it on your phone, voice note, and send it to us, okay?
It's therapeutic. It really is. BenAndKellyShow@gmail.com.
On 99.7 DJX.
When you strike out in real life, you can always try Craigslist Missed Connections.
Ladies first?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry I ran away from you, woman for man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was the 25-year-old who spotted you at the farmer's market selling produce from the gentle Mother Earth.
Oh, namaste.
You were the rough-looking gentleman with a voice like a grizzly bear.
Grr.
But not a scary, wild, violent bear like you'd see on Animal Planet. More like a soft, huggy, Disney-like cartoon character bear. Maybe Baloo from Jungle Book?
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
How is Baloo's voice again?
Kind of like Robert Hossenpepper, maybe?
Maybe. I think it was like that, yeah.
Ah, probably. There, young missus.
We got into a deep discussion about the farm you work on, and suddenly I felt the need to bare my soul.
Oh.
I shared about my marriages, my divorces.
Oh.
And even the snake bite I got in the eighth grade that hasn't completely healed.
She's 25?
Yeah.
She's lived a life. A
lot going on. I can't believe I even told you about my old science teacher, Mr. Handley. He's still in jail, by the way.
Oh!
His name's Mr. Handley? All right. Only then had I realized what I'd done, and I panicked and I ran away.
Oh, no.
But I do want to see you again and explain my choice in studying to become a nun. I think all the other decisions maybe led to that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Only then will you truly understand my pain. Do you care enough to know the real me under the robe?
No.
Does she mean habit? Was she dressed as a nun when she met him? That's the picture I have right now. Okay. Hopefully you'll be compelled to learn more. Reach out. Okay.
Ah, well, I'll tell you, she is seasoned at 25.
Yes, she is. She has lived a lot of life already.
She has. Oh, it's
Craigslist Missed Connections.
All right, Man for Woman. It's titled, This Might Sound Cheesy, But I Think You Are Real Great.
G-R-A-T-E?
Yeah.
As in cheese great? I'm in. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm in.
I saw you in the Thorntons last night.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, morning around 3 a.m.
Oh.
You were the fluffy golf chick wearing the tight pink miniskirt.
Fluffy golf chick?
Ooh-wee! You may remember me as the country boy with the crooked smile who offered you a wet nap.
Okay. All right.
When I tried to hand it to you, you gave me attitude and said, why don't you use that on your crusty mustache, you tumbleweed?
Oh, wow. Guess he had a little something going on.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I was confused. But might have turned on.
Alrighty.
For the next few minutes, I watched in awe as you built the most heavenly nacho tower I have ever seen.
Well, yeah, 3 a.m. Yeah, middle of the night snack.
Gosh dang, I wish I could have stayed for the finale. But this old rusty fender felt a certain rumble down under.
Oh, God.
And I excused myself to the little cowpoke's room. After, gosh, after a few minutes of pleasure and pain.
Oh, gosh, that is too descriptive.
I made my own nacho plate.
I'm sorry. Back the drug up.
When I finally came out, you was gone.
Oh, all right. It took him a while.
I followed a trail of jalapenos out the front door, but the disappeared near punk number 4.
Oh, no.
Yep.
He drove out of his life.
Yep. If you see this, write me back. Because even though we'd be an odd pair, you...
Yeah.
Lassoed my heart.
Absolutely, she did. Yes. Golf nacho girl at 3 a.m. Wow. I mean, that is a recipe for lasting love, is it not?
So listen, whether you're studying to be a nun and you've been tempted.
Yeah, oh yeah, maybe.
Or... Yeah. You see the love of your life at 3 a.m. grabbing or the biggest...
Making a tower of nachos.
Tower of nachos ever.
Yes. I mean, either way, you just... Oh, gosh, I hope they find each other again.
I do, too. It's Craigslist Missed Connection. At Ben and Kelly Show is a great way to get a hold of us social media-wise. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can always DM us. Lucy... is just wanting to determine whether or not she's a jerk here.
She said, hey, Ben and Kelly, I got married 2 years ago. We had a baby shortly after that. Our daughter's now 2.
Mm-hmm.
And while my husband and I are both pretty involved parents, we're going to miss Halloween this year. And I'm a little sad, but we were given a trip up north by some friends that needed to be used by the weekend of Halloween.
Okay.
So we decided it was time for us to get away and finally enjoy some time alone. Well, fast forward to present day, my husband's parents are going to watch her for us and take her trick-or-treating.
That's nice.
Everyone says she should be Pebbles from the Flintstones because she's got a ponytail that sticks straight up.
Oh.
I was cool with that idea, but then my in-laws announced they were going to make it a whole theme and dress up with her as Fred and Wilma Flintstone.
Oh, as the parents.
Yeah, I don't like this. I feel like they need to back off and not try to make a whole family look with my kid. My husband says I'm out of line and my reasoning makes no sense, but I just don't like it. So am I the jerk for killing the Halloween theme my in-laws were going to use with my daughter, Lucy? I think yes.
Yeah. I let your in-laws, let your grandparents have fun.
I mean, if you're like afraid people are going to think your kid is theirs, I mean, it's not, that shouldn't matter at all.
Yeah.
They are going to take your daughter out trick-or-treating. It's going to be fun. They're getting into it. They're going to be in costume as opposed to just, you know, walking around the neighborhood like a lot of parents. I think it's adorable and cute. And I think you're making a way bigger deal out of this.
Yeah, Justin kind of agrees with you. He texts in and says, yes, she's a control freak. Loosen up. Deal with it. You married the whole family.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's adorable.
I don't see a problem
with this at all.
I'm like, look, let your grandparents be grandparents. Let them have fun. Let them enjoy this moment. Because, look, the reality is they're not going to have as much time with your daughter as you are.
Probably every other year you're going to be taking her trick-or-treating. So let them, you know, have a ball this year.
Yeah.
They want to get dressed up, let them.
Yeah.
How cute is that?
Yeah, I think that's just fine. And so, yes, I would say, you're kind of being a jerk. You've got time. You've got a couple weeks still. I would go back and just say, look, it was my time of the month. I was being a little bit crazy.
Well, I think maybe she was probably feeling a little jealous.
Yeah.
I think she was feeling a little jealous and she was letting those feelings kind of take over and be a little irrational.
Yeah.
I think, you know, once she kind of can step back and be like, okay, that's adorable. She's going to have a ball. And that way if you know that your daughter's having a great time, your in-laws are taking great care of her, you're going to be able to have a better time on your trip, not worrying about anything.
That's true. Gretchen suggests, look, maybe she and her husband want to do the Pebbles and the whole gang thing. They can do that next year because one of my kids literally wears the same outfit 3 years in a row.
I love that. Eric is just like, loosen up, Lucy. Be thankful they're willing to take your child out and enjoy this.
All right.
This is a pretty easy one. A lot of people are, I don't see anybody that says, yeah, you're absolutely right. They should not be dressing up as a family theme with your kid.
No, I know. It's like
it's the same family. They are your family.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let them do it. let them have their fun and be happy for them and know that
you're... Maybe they'll get extra candy because, you know, everybody will be like, oh, look, the whole family dressed up. We're going to give you guys more.
Yeah, just be happy that your grandparents are so involved.
Yes.
Or that, you know, her grandparents are so involved. Your in-laws are so involved in your life and are wanting to have fun. So
that's a blessing.
That's what I would say. All right. Well, hey, keep us posted. Good luck with that, Lucy. Hopefully you make...
And I want to see pictures.
The right...
Adorable costumes.
Decision. That is diving into the DMs. Did you see this thing where 6 in 10 Americans are crediting a celebrity with helping them push through a tough time in their life?
What? Are you serious?
They obviously didn't ask you, Kelly. I know.
No, they did not. No, they did not. I do not take any life lessons, cues, inspiration, none of that from any celebrity at all. I am entertained, though, by one Mr. Ryan Reynolds. That's about it.
The number one being Oprah Winfrey, followed by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Bear Grylls made the list. I can see Bear Grylls.
He drinks pee, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Bear Grylls from like a Here's How to Survive.
Sure. If you are like a camper or something like that, yeah, maybe you picked up some life skill tips, you know, watching his shows. If you're out in the wilderness, I don't find myself out in the wilderness a lot, so I don't need a lot of Bear Grylls advice, like eating bugs or drinking pee.
No,
he's done that before.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What I think is always funny is, you know, there is a cameraman that is filming him.
Oh,
on some of these things. And
I know. What do you think that's like? Because you have to go through like all that stuff with them. You're in the harsh conditions and all the things.
Well, don't you?
But you got to carry this equipment. You got to make sure you're capturing it all.
Yeah, but don't you remember? I remember seeing a kind of like a zoomed out view of one of Bear Grylls' like survival things. And, you know, I mean, he was close to civilization. He was just, you know, kind of in a wooded area. But it, you know, there was like a highway nearby and stuff like that. So it wasn't like, but I think, you know, still these things could be applied if you were in real dire need, you know.
Exactly. If you found yourself stranded, lost on a hike, something like that.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the wilderness for whatever reason.
All right. So I know that your answer is always no, but if there was a celebrity that you would draw inspiration from.
Gosh, seriously? Maybe it was like, it would have to be some sort of like, I would take crafting guidance from like a Martha Stewart. Yes.
I
needed to put together an amazing looking meal on party planning, I will look for guidance from Martha Stewart.
I would go to like the cooking network or something, and I would look at Guy Fieri. I would take cues from Bobby Flay. That's the sort of celebrity I would take a look at. Rachel Ray or Giada or whoever those, you know, some of those food celebrity stars.
Yeah, but Martha really nails like the presentation.
She does.
As well.
You're right.
I mean, if you really want to put on an impressive display at your party, I'll look to Martha Stewart. That's as far as I'm going, though.
Okay.
I'm not taking like, you know, stock trading advice from her.
You know what? The little memory popped up for us on this date 12 years ago, October 5th, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You had a foundation, and I was just wanting to check in on it, Kelly.
I had a foundation?
Yeah, you had a foundation for injured elbows, and I was just wondering...
Was that when I injured my weenus?
Yeah, I think so. And I was just wondering how that has progressed over the past 12 years, if you've earned any more than the $1 that we got sent to us.
It's still... the budget is still at a dollar. Yeah. Yeah. The fund is still at a dollar, but the weenus is better. So the weenus, by the way, is the skin over the elbow. I had injured it. And so that's why I started my foundation, because I felt like, you know, there wasn't a lot of attention, a bright spotlight, if you will, on the weenus.
Right.
And I probably wasn't the first person to injure mine. So that's why I started the foundation with the generous donation of a dollar. Was that from you? Who gave us the dollar?
No, a listener had mailed it in to us.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm pretty confident I still have that in the bank.
I shared it on Facebook again, so...
Oh, it might, generate a renewed interest. Oh, man, I better get the staff fired up again to be a little bit more active.
Get excited in the Foundation for Injured Elbows.
We're back.
Are we back?
We're back.
Or are we just looking fondly on this and going, aw.
We all still have elbows, do we not?
Yeah, we all have elbows.
Sometimes we slip, when we're going out down the stairs in the garage. We aren't fully clothed at the time. And sometimes we fall on our elbows, injuring the weenus, the skin over the elbow. So what I'm saying is there's still a need as long as people have elbows.
Did we ever get a mission statement from your foundation?
Not entirely sure. I can craft one. I feel like we need one.
I don't think we're going that far.
Pushing forward.
Okay.
In supporting those who have injured weenuses to shine a spotlight on your plight. You have been heard. We support you.
Okay.
And we can buy Band-Aids.
Band-Aids. All right. So that's
for your injured weenus. And maybe ice packs.
All right. So the foundation.
There's some ice pack involved.
For injured elbows is to provide some first aid.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. All right. It's what a memory.
What a memory. All right. At Ben and what Kelly Show, by the way. So Sadie the Bar stories are what again?
Examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah. So if you can manage to make it through the day without stuffing yourself inside a washing machine for, quote, content for your YouTube, you're doing okay.
Oh, that sounds painful because I'm guessing they turn it on, right?
Look, if you're an adult... I shouldn't have to tell you this?
No, I mean, I expect this from children playing like hide and seek or something, looking for a really killer place to hide, like they're never going to check to look for me here, right? I mean, that's what I expect, not an adult.
But this woman did it on a dare.
Oh my God.
Got stuck inside her washing machine. Yes, first responders got called.
No.
Had to come out and rescue her. She and the friend who was filming it thought it was funny.
Here we go. I'm going to lift you up again.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm putting this on the internet.
No.
Yes. I'm going to put this on YouTube right now.
We can get you out, okay?
Let her head come out.
No, we can't.
Let me see your head.
So she's like just crammed in there.
Cindy, I'm totally putting this on the internet. And the first responder's like, listen, I'm trying to work here.
Right.
And they're like, wait a second, you're in my shot.
Okay. You're never doing a dare again.
Ladies, I don't think you understand that you will be paying for this 911 call.
he's like, look, I don't...
With a little slap of realism.
Right, right.
I'm trying to do my job here. Now get your feet back out, ma'am. Wrap them in this towel right here.
Yeah, so, long story short.
Oh, yeah, he did not see the humor in it.
No.
Like, listen, this is a serious thing. This is a 911 call. This is going to be pricey. This is serious stuff. I'm trying to get you out. Let's cooperate.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
And she's like, Cindy, this is going on the internet. Make sure you smile, girl.
We're
going
to get 1,000 views on this. This will be great.
It's going to go viral.
So again, let's not stuff ourselves into washing machines, okay?
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, that sounds painful. Was it a front loader?
It was a front loader. Nope, front loader.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, ow.
Yeah. So if you can manage to make it through the day.
Is that thing, like, working okay after that?
Oh, I don't know the status of the washing machine, no.
Oh, gosh.
But she did get out of the washing machine. So.
That's great.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, thank goodness. Prayers for Cindy.
Prayers for Cindy. If you can manage to make it through the day without stuffing yourself inside a washing machine for content, you're doing okay.
That is not how we go viral famous. Nope, nope, nope.
Or sometimes it is. That is Setting the Bar on 99.7 DJX. 99.7 DJX. Tomorrow morning, we're going to start bright and early again, 6 o'clock, giving you a shot at $2,000 with the Candy Crisis cash. So that comes up. Winning words about every 20 minutes between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. here.
It's so evil. We're making you listen to the entire program start to finish.
Yeah, it's almost strategic.
Almost. As if we planned it that way.
More winning words tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock on 99.7 DJX beginning at 6. FYI, tomorrow night is the pre-pink prom party. At Blind Squirrel, Jax, who sings Victoria's Secret, she'll be there singing a couple songs, doing a little Q&A, taking photos with some winners. So that'll be fun. Tomorrow night, Blind Squirrel, if you've never been out there, cool little venue there in, I think, the Middletown area, Middletown, J-Town area, yep. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an awesome venue. Great food, great restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then Friday is actually Pink Prom. So that's Melwood. I think there are a few tickets left for that. That benefits the Norton Cancer Institute. So kind of a tradition there. So a couple cool evenings of events happening here on 99.7 DJX. So hopefully we'll see you out at a couple of them. All right. Anything else, Kelly?
We got wet nose. So if you're looking for a furry family member, Kentucky Humane Society still has lots of animals, great animals who need homes. You can see who's featured this week at around noon, mm-hmm. live on Facebook at 99.7 DJX.
All right, so there you go. Otherwise, catch up on what you missed on the podcast, audio on demand, WDJX.com. Click listen. All right, guys, have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.